Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. And for those of you that are listening, sending in questions and comments, please continue to help spread the word that every week this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to raising our lives, our happiness, and our healthiness to different heights that you may have never found before. And I want you to know that I would really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group or to someone you know that can benefit from a particular show. And I will tell you right now, everybody knows somebody that can benefit from this show. So this is one powerful way that we together can make a positive difference in the world. Now, Answers for the Family will address many ways of creating greater health, happiness, and blessings for you and your family. We'll introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are all working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, before we get to our guests, I've got a special thank you to go out to all of you that take your precious time to listen to this show, and especially those that send in questions, comments, and suggestions. Please remember, this show exists for you. Now, I'm very, very grateful and so happy to have our guest today. And I'll just start with, Mark Victor Hansen has soothed millions of souls through his Chicken Soup for the Soul series. Now, Mark and his beloved wife, Crystal Dyer Hansen, have created the most compelling book of this decade with Ask. Now, you may ask, what has Chicken Soup for the Soul book series and brand done? Well, for one, it set world records with book sales with over 500 million sold. So think about that for a moment. So Crystal is one of the leading success and wellness coaches in the country. She practices in Newport Beach, California and Scottsdale, Arizona. She's an entrepreneur, certified life coach, and wellness nutrition expert whose personal coaching, speaking, CDs, and video programs, books, and articles have all helped people do great things all over the world. Now, for Mark, having spoke to over 6,000 audiences worldwide, he has captured his audience's attention as well as their hearts. His credentials include a lifetime of entrepreneurial success, alternative energy pursuits, in addition to, in addition to being a prolific writer with many popular books such as Power of Focus, The Aladdin Factor, Dare to Win, 1 Minute Millionaire, to name just a few. His energy and exuberance, his travels are still incredible. He is in a variety of different types of medium, such as television with Oprah, CNN, The Today Show. He's in print with Time Magazine, USA Today, New York Times, and so on. He's also done countless radio and newspaper interviews. So all I can tell you folks is that we have a couple of people here who have dedicated their life at the pursuit of making all of our lives better. So please join me in welcoming Mark and Crystal Hansen to the show.
Alan, it's our great pleasure to be here. And I'm so thankful, Alan, that my mother wrote that.
Yeah, and you know, she was so easy to talk to and everything. It was great. So now I know you guys are you're on like a worldwide tour, which has become a Zoom tour. But I've talked a little bit about, obviously you've done a million books and stuff. With all the different things that both of you have done, why Ask? There's so many different directions that people could go with a book. Why Ask?
Well, Crystal and I have traveled literally around the world, 80 countries, and we've met great people. I mean, we've been with you a few times, and we love all the people we've met, and they're talented, they're well-educated, they're professionals, They're likable, but the difference between the people that succeed a little bit and people that succeed vastly is one thing and one thing only, and that is ask. And so what he said is, wow, if that's true, what is the discernment? And the discernment we've discovered, Alan, is they are master askers. And what happens is we said, we put it as the title of the book, Ask! Exclamation mark. We were astounded that nobody had ever tried to write to this because everyone knows the line, ask and you shall receive, but no one's ever gone deep to teach you how to do it in an omni-effective way. And so we did a subtitle that says, the bridge from your dreams, and all of us have a lot of dreams, to your destiny. And we believe, especially during these times where we've been in government-imposed lockdown for 8 billion of us around the planet, people need to know how to ask. They need to come back to understanding they've got a destiny, because so many people are afraid and shut down and stifled. And we'll cover all that with you as we go through this. But it is time to find your destiny, discover it, and then manifest it.
And I think the timing is absolutely perfect. It seems like such a simple thing. Why, as humans, do we have roadblocks against asking?
Well, exactly. In the research we did, Alan, we found that there are 7 roadblocks that people have to asking. Asking seems to be such a hard thing for people. And it doesn't start out that way. You know, as children, we're all expert askers. We ask what, when, where, why. We want more, more, more. When should we just keep asking? And then over time, studies have been done that show that we literally, our ability to ask gets shut out of us because, you know, our parents shut us down. Okay, enough, stop asking. You know, we go to school, you're told to, you know, only ask if you get called upon. You go to the military, you're told to submit to authority. Don't ask questions or in your jobs. I mean, there are some companies now that are really good at getting, you know, employee feedback and really being bringing employees into the process. But in most situations, you know, you're so often you're just told to submit to authority, or we've been rejected. That's part of it. A lot of people are rejected. But we found there are 7 roadblocks to asking, and those are unworthiness, doubt, pattern paralysis, naivete, just not really knowing what's out there and available for you, you know, and just disconnection. And that's probably one of the saddest ones for me, is that you just, a lot of people, just because life has shut them down, they've had a few defeats, they really become disconnected from the dreams in their hearts. And so they stop asking. And that's why we wrote the book, because we want to rekindle that desire, and we want to rekindle an awakening that if you just start to implement this simple tool that we were all born with, but it might have gotten shut down, you will start to see your life unfold dramatically. Because, you know, question by question, answer by answer, you're going to start to receive ideas, illuminations, solutions, a plan to something different. And in that way, you start to see your life opening up. And it literally does become this bridge from the dreams that are sometimes locked in our hearts to our ultimate destiny. And it's such a beautiful journey if we're willing to look at this, look at the opportunity, and take the journey.
I love that. Now, let me ask a question for both of you. Why don't you each, if you could give me your favorite tool to become a really good asker?
Well, I say that you got to ask to G-E-T, and I really learned it when I was 9 years old. I desperately won a low handlebar racing bicycles in 1957 before they came into the United States. I saw them, and I was beating on my lovely immigrant parents, who were superb, but I didn't quite get that they didn't have the money to buy. Today, a Trek bike is like $7,000, and I obviously wanted the best, and they didn't have it. It wasn't in the cards. So I finally, Boy Scout, and I said, Dad, I think this thing says I can sell greeting cards on consignment. The big word means they give them to me, I sell them, and then we send in half the money. If you'll write a check, I can do that. Because he taught free enterprise means the more enterprising you are, the freer you are. So I said, wow, I could earn this. So I start selling greeting cards, and the snow is deep. I'm outside of Chicago in a city called Waukegan, Illinois, a little blue-collar city. I went up to all the lovely, you know, like my wife equivalently, and I'd say, I'm burning my own bicycle. Would you like to invest in one box of Christmas cards or two? Well, I sold 376 boxes of Christmas cards in 1 month, sold the most, became number one greeting card salesman in America. So I learned how to ask to get what I wanted, and I've never stopped asking. I asked to create a rock group when I was 16. I asked the smartest guy on the planet when I was in grad school, Buckminster Fuller, please let me work with you. And I worked with him for 7 years. then Jack and I decided to ask, and 144 people told us to hit the road, Jack. And I said, look, when we're doing chicken soup, I'm sorry, it's okay if you like it, but I'm a nice guy. So Jack's great, by the way. And then, you know, now we've sold all those books, and now we're doing the book of books. We think this is the penultimate of books. Ask the bridge from your dreams to your destiny, because everyone has dreams. Everyone has a destiny. Everyone feels shut down. I mean, and they're scared because there's not one virus, but three. There's the virus, the fear virus, which ask covers, and we can cover with you. And then there's the economic virus.
Well, and Alan, can I add to that? I just want to say, you know, what Mark and I discovered is there are really three channels through which we need to learn to ask. Okay. And that is ask yourself, ask others, and ask God. And we learned through all of the research we've done through and through all the interviews we did that each of those channels is equally important. And, you know, starting with that journey of asking yourself, because oftentimes we're racing through life. We're just, you know, just kind of, it feels like life is kind of happening out there somewhere and coming at us. And we're just trying to keep the balls up in the air and kind of ducking and dodging. But really, life is truly created. As a transformational life coach and clinical hypnotherapist, this is what I teach my clients. Life is, your life experience is created from the inside out. And so that first part of the asking journey, ask yourself, is one of the most important things you will do in this life to create the life of your dreams. So when things aren't going the way you want to, it is time to stop everything, sit down with yourself for 15 minutes a day or even 10 minutes a day and start asking yourself those questions. And as you start asking yourself, these answers start to become revealed to you. And it's quite profound. In fact, the research we did for this book showed that when you start to ask yourself a question, a different part of your mind goes to work for you. And it's the part of your mind that does critical thinking. Mm-hmm. So immediately when we start asking ourselves questions, a different part of our brain lights up and becomes a resource for us. But the problem is most people don't even take the time for that self-examination of their lives. They continue with the misery or the dissatisfaction or the hurt or the pain and don't take the time to ask. And so we're just hoping that this book will inspire people to start, number one, with that self-asking journey, asking themselves the questions that will open up. We have a lot of examples in the book, and we have beautiful stories. And the reason we tell so many stories in the book is we feel like, well, and you, I'm sure you know this. I mean, stories are metaphors for our own lives, right? And our brain thinks in patterns, and a metaphor is a pattern that our brain can recognize. And so when we look at other people's stories, we look at their tragedies to triumph. We see what their asking journey was and how by asking this series of questions, asking of themselves, asking others, asking God, how this fits into the higher purpose, we see that they were able to transcend the same difficulties, you know, or similar that we might be going through. And it's just very empowering and very uplifting. And I'll tell you, the stories that we have in this book, and you've read the book, but are pretty amazing.
Well, in fact, we're so on the same wavelength that I was literally kind of the area I was going to go into next was to tell you, first of all, how much I love the fact that you explain a principle and then you reinforce it with a story, because that's exactly what makes the most sense to me. And I was going to say, if you can share one of the stories, like, for instance, Bob Proctor's or something, share a story so that people can kind of get an idea of the value that they're going to get, not just from the fact of somebody that's telling you, here's what you should do, but here's incredibly successful people that have something very similar that people can relate to, that they can then go, I was right there, and it worked for them. And I love the fact that you did that in this book.
Yeah. So we got seven roadblocks, and one of them is unworthiness, which all of us feel some part of the seven roadblocks, and sometimes two, three, mm-hmm. or four of them. But Bob Proctor and I have been, and Crystal have been friends forever. He's an amazing human being. But back in 1960s, he had been 4 years in the Navy in Canada, came out, was a fireman, making $4,000 a year, but had $6,000 worth of debt, goes to the bar at night with the other firemen, looks around, goes, these guys aren't going anywhere. And if you become like the people you hang out with, this isn't going to work for me, and I'm going to stay in debt, and I'll die in debt. So he goes to the richest man he knows, a lovely guy named Ray, and he said, I really want to be like you. And the guy said, what do you mean? He says, I want to be rich, I want to be healthy, and I want to be happy. The guy said, that's easy enough. So what you got to do is figure it out, put it in writing, and ask yourself, how rich do you want to be? How happy do you want to be? And what do you want to have happen in your relationships? And so he put all that down. He read Think and Grow Rich. And then he said, well, if I'm going to be rich, I got to find somewhere where I'm passionately on purpose and I can get substantially paid for creating massive value. So he said, I heard you can make money washing windows. So Bob starts washing windows. Well, he washes so many that he passes out on the streets of Toronto, Canada. He's a Canadian. And he's asking himself, what am I going to do? And the police are there and the first responders are around him. And they ask him and they say, Bob, do you need to go to the hospital? He said, no, I got to just go home and rest. I'm exhausted. I'm working too hard. He goes home and he's laying in bed and he asked himself, wait a second. If I can't wash all the windows, I don't want to wash any of the windows. I'll just become a manager. And now he goes from making 25 grand. He went, remember, he was $5,000-$6,000 in debt. Now he's 25 grand a month. Within a year, he's making $1 million a year. Within 2 years, he's making $1 million a month. And he owns window cleaning in Toronto and Montreal and Atlanta, Georgia and London, England. And he's blowing and going. And all of a sudden, Peel said, would you teach us how to do that? And he's, you know, becomes a student of self-help action books and tapes, which is the industry he and I are in. And we've owned two companies together. And now he says, look, I want to affect 1 billion people around the world during my lifetime. And we interviewed him. So he's come from unworthiness to total worthiness by asking himself, asking others, and asking God. He is one of the most profoundly wise spiritual people in the planet. When we asked him, what about these times? He said, look, spirit is always alive. Spirit knows what it's doing, and it will resurrect and correct the mishaps that are happening. That's pretty close to what he said.
One of the things you talk about also in the book is sometimes it's the size or quality of the question that makes the biggest difference. Give us an example of that, because I know that right now we've got a lot of people sitting at home. They're looking for a new job. What's that big question that they need to be asking themselves that's going to take them to that next step?
Well, I think when we're talking about asking ourselves, one of the first things we need to start with is, what am I best at? You know, because it's really important to really understand what you're good at, because part of, you know, achieving your dreams is really figuring out how you can contribute value in the ways that you are best at, how you can create value and how you can receive the capital value in return for what you're giving. So what am I best at is really important. It's a simple but profound question. And a lot of times we just go through life and we never ask ourselves these questions. We just get in the flow of life and keep going in a miserable way. So what am I best at is really, really important. And then what makes me feel passionate? What makes me feel alive that I'm really contributing or I'm really enjoying what I'm doing? Because sometimes you can be good at something and really not like it. And that's not usually going to become the greatest path to your destiny. Like I could say, well, I'm pretty good. I'm good at bookkeeping, but I'll tell you what, I don't like it at all. So if I pursue a career in bookkeeping, I'm going to be really unhappy. So those two things have to come together where there's a certain amount of passion and purpose behind what you're doing. And so it's those two things coming together that's magical. Now, Jen, my bookkeeper, she loves bookkeeping. She loves the puzzle of taking people's businesses. She feels like she's a part of everyone's business. She can help. She can contribute. She loves bookkeeping and she's good at it. So that's her best, you know, that's her journey and it's wonderful for her. But combining those two questions together is so important.
And then you've got to create massive value that you're going to get paid substantially for.
Okay. And you know, it's funny, Crystal, as you were saying that, I thought of a great story that John Maxwell tells about the fact that he was terrible at math. And I believe you guys know John, but
Very well. We're best friends.
Right. And when I met him, it was one of the greatest stories. Math is not my strong suit either, but he said that in school, he was horrible at math, but he was great at a lot of other things. And so they kept increasing the amount of time that he would spend doing math, thinking that he should get better at that. And finally, he said, when he got out of high school and got in college, and they said, well, you need to do all of these math things. And he said, no, I don't. He said, I'm really good at all of these other things. And I'm going to make so much money that I'll hire somebody to count my money.
Right. I love that story. I love that story. That's such a good distinction. Like, that's why you need to ask.
And that's why Dr. Maxwell always says you can take this to the bank. Yeah. Is a great line. I mean, I've heard Johnny say that 100 times. Matter of fact, we're doing a giant seminar with him right now. So it's a virtual seminar. So we could not be closer. He is also, in case you didn't know it, a Horatio Alger Award winner, and he's an amazing human being.
Yeah. I've followed him for some time and love what he's doing out there. We have a listener question that comes in. And again, I want to thank those listeners that take the time, that to either send in the questions. Sometimes they'll send them in ahead of time. Sometimes it's during the show. This one reads, we are faced with overwhelming challenges at the present time, maybe even a depression in the not too distant future. As much as spirituality has expanded globally, so too has the tyranny actions of the governments and corporations in mass around the world. We have been participating in meditating, praying, and placing our intent for good things to happen. How do you believe we turn this around? There's some spelling issues here. we want to return to freedom from what appears to be this current dark night. And this is from Benji in Arizona.
Wow, I really love that question because boy, oh boy, in times of crisis, we learn so much. Where that if it's a personal crisis, we learn so much about ourselves. We learn so much about what to do, what not to do. Well, in this crisis, the same thing is happening. And it has opened our eyes, I think, as Americans. Number one, who knew that 99% of our 95% of all of our pharmaceuticals are made in a country that doesn't necessarily have our best interest at heart, nor do they have the standards of cleanliness, of human rights, of all of the things that we value in America, okay? That, almost 100% of our Advil is made over there. And so when you start to look at these things that have caused us great pain and misery, because those things are now like all this critical equipment that we need for our medicine and for supplies for hospitals, all of this has been shifted over to a different country that doesn't have our interest in heart. So they went up and bought up all that stuff when the virus happened. So here we are left very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Our jobs have been stopped. And so has there ever been a better time for us to ask what politicians are supporting the policies that support Americans' success, business opportunities, and freedom? Because that is what matters to Americans. And I don't care what party you voted for in the past, this is Americans coming together. We're realizing so many things together. So many things have been revealed to us, and we need to ask. We need to find out, ask each and every politician that we're voting for. We need to find out how they voted, because what we found out is all this shifting was done because corporate profits grew when you shift production over to countries that basically use slave labor to produce it. And then those corporations were allowed by a lot of our politicians on both sides of the aisle to ship them back into our country, those products, for with no tariffs, or very low tariffs. So we lost 60,000 manufacturing facilities over a 20-year period of time. We lost massive numbers of jobs. And now the final rub is here we are in this pandemic that was started over in there. Who knows? I don't know whose fault it was, but it was started over there. And here we are left vulnerable again. So asking those questions, and it's really about our personal freedom. It's about getting behind the people who we know value what we value and really asking those questions, because we can recreate this together.
So can I also answer?
Please do.
Okay. So everybody out there, you've got to go to markvictorhand.com, our website. And for free, we give you a book I've just written with the lady, Mitzi Purdue. You know her because she does 22 million chickens a week, but how to be up in down times. And what we're saying, and you know this, Alan, is that I'm talking about we're going to do in America alone in the next 10 years from 2020 to 2030, we're going to do 50, not billion, but 50 trillion. And just one of the companies I'll tell you is that we've got is a company called QCI. The guy spent $300 million in Michigan, which is another state that's shut down by somebody not running it right, as far as I'm concerned. But he's got the way to take all trash. Everybody creates 5 pounds of garbage a day, and we have 10,000 landfills full right now. we got to take care of this. And he's able to take every atom and every molecule, take metal to metal, glass to glass, plastic to plastic. That's critical. Save the oceans again, water to water. So we've got abundant resources. And his company alone, once we open up America again, is going to employ 22 million. Now, 30 million are unemployed now that'll never get a job again. And his company says, look, we'll hire all of them because we once we're open, but they won't let Michigan open so we can do this. So we're in right? You and I in high school read the same book. It's the best of times and the worst of times. It's the worst of times if you start believing and watch too much radio and TV. It's the best of times if you listen to podcasts like this and open your mind, reboot, reinvent, rethink, reinvigorate yourself and listen to people. No more news than 15 minutes a day. The average American today is listening 2.5 hours a day. And it's just spoiling their mind. It's making them despondent, disconsolate, distressed.
Well, and you bring up a great point. And for some of the people that have listened to the show, they know that I've referred to the country of Bhutan numerous times because of the fact that they have gross national happiness rather than gross national product and a variety of other things. So
can I correct one thing? Because please. I just want that product was just made. And so it's not the box to click on is not quite up yet. So if you want that free ebook, just email us at reception@markvictorhansen.com. Just tell us you want that free ebook and we'll get it to you. And the link will be up soon, but I didn't want everybody to go to Mark's website and be disappointed that they don't see the link. Just go to reception@markvictorhansen.com. You'll get the free ebook.
By the way, I do stuff so quick that I apologize. My techies aren't as quick as I am sometimes.
I have that same problem. And for anybody out there, obviously, if you're driving and you couldn't write that down, we'll put that on the Answers for the Family website also so that people know how to get to that particular point. I was going to make a quick point about Bhutan, and then we're going to take a break. First of all, Bhutan only has 21 cases of COVID, and they have zero deaths. Okay, zero. Oh, wow. And because they focused not on run and hide or anything else, they focused on health, energy, positive energy, don't be fearful, you know, all of the things that I think are many things that we should be doing, they're not doing it. But the countries that have done this the best, there's a common thread through it because Taiwan has done well, Germany has done well, now South Korea and New Zealand has done really well, okay? They do not have the news service that we have. They do not allow 24-hour fear-mongering being put out there. And they're telling people, take care of your immune system. Be healthy. If you're a healthy person, go out there. Yes, wear a mask so you don't sneeze on somebody or whatever. But go out there, work. Germany is doing some great things in the sense that they're taking the people who have already had it and they're saying that for every person that's had it, they can take their blood and they can create a vaccine that does three more people. And so so you'll go in if you've already had it and survived it and they'll do a vaccine. So they're taking their pyramid and doing it in the other direction. For everyone that's had it, they can vaccinate three. You know, there's so many good things out there, but we have to be able to, first of all, listen and then ask what are other people doing out there that we can do to help. So, I'm so excited about having you guys here and all of the different ways in which what you're doing and what this book can do to help. But with everybody out there, please stay with us. I know I'm probably a little over. We need to take a break, but we will be right back. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. I have with me, it is my pleasure to have Mark and Crystal Hansen. The book is called Ask, and it is, to me, it is the book out of all the books. And for those that know me or that listen to the show, I read a book a week. That's my goal. And this is, and obviously I don't talk about a book every week. This is the book that I think everybody should have. And I'm so convinced about it. And I want you to know, I was listening to the news or whatever, you know, this morning, and the government was talking about another stimulus package. Well, I personally like the old saying that says, give a man to fish and feed him for a day, teach him to fish and feed him for a lifetime. And I want everybody to know how grateful I am for really everything that I have in my life. I'm also grateful for Mark and Crystal for writing this book that I think is going to make a positive difference in millions of people's lives. And it's so much so that my stimulus package to you, our listeners, is for the first 100 people that go to answersforthefamily.com and click on the contest link. Just give us your email address and a physical address. I promise that we're never going to share or sell your information, but I will send you a free hardback copy of Ask, of Mark and Crystal's book. And that's going to be compliments of Answers for the Family, because this to me is the thing that I can do. I've thought about it for quite some time. This is what I can do for you, my listeners. We've been on the air for over 10 years, and this to me is the way to allow you to, it's not feeding you, but it is doing something that's going to help you feed your mind and your body and your family for the rest of your life.
What a beautiful and generous gift you've just given to your listeners, Alan. That is so kind, and what a nice surprise. I didn't even know you were going to do that. So I think it's going to be a great resource to everyone. And it's one of the things we talk about. You know, we get scared and kind of stuck in our zone. And it's so important for us to remember what you just said. And that is always when you're looking at what you can get, you know, how to make money and how to do well. If you start focusing on the value you give, it's amazing how quickly that will expand for you, because it is so important when you're looking at like the science of getting rich, that you're just not asking what's in it for you, right, that you're always remembering to make it a complete circle and saying, am I giving my greatest self? It doesn't matter if what you're doing, whatever job. In fact, my daughter is a school teacher, and she is so in love with the janitor at her school because she said, Mom, this guy cares so much about not just us, but the children. And so those teachers need all these resources. And he will come in and build special things for them and do all these extra things. Well, guess what? The teachers constantly are giving him, you know, certificates to nice restaurants, and even the parents are supporting him. And so his wealth expands all the time, not because he's really looking for that, but he's just looking for ways to bring more value to his job. And if we all did that, sort of like what you just did, always focus on the value you're bringing, whether it's your heart, soul, whatever you're doing, make sure it's sincere, that kind of sincere, beautiful value. I did want to tell a little story about one of my favorite things, because we talked about asking yourself, and now I wanted to talk a little bit about asking others, because that's a hard thing for people to do. And we all in this lifetime need to rely on others. We are each other's greatest resource, and it's important for us to be comfortable asking people. And the research we did on this book shows that people are afraid to ask people for other things. They go in with the perception that people are either going to think they're stupid, uninformed, you know, that they don't know what they're doing, they're ignorant, or they're just needy or greedy. And none of those things really is true. The research shows that if you are willing to ask someone to do something for you, they're 80% more likely to do it for you. We can't just sit back and think things are going to happen for us. And one of my One of the stories I love in the book is about a woman named Lynn Marquis who decided as a young woman to go into the nonprofit sector. And she decided that she wanted to create this amazing camp for children and where, you know, underprivileged children could go and spend their summer at this camp because they don't often have options. And her heart and soul was behind this thing so much. Well, she finally got a meeting with one of the wealthiest women in her city who controlled this big family trust. And she was so nervous to ask her. She was going to ask her to sponsor one of the children for an entire summer. So she said by the time she got to the meeting, she was so nervous. She could hardly talk. She was stuttering. And she said, she just finally said, I'm just going to admit, I'm really nervous to talk to you right now. And the woman put her at ease. She was so kind about it. So she explained what the kids needed and what she needed. And she said, the woman asked her, you know, and how much is that going to cost? She said, well, I'd like to get $5,000 for you, for a child. And she said, the woman answered and said, but I mean, how many children do you want to go to this camp? And she gave her the entire number. The woman said, okay, I'll underwrite all of the children. And wow. She was just stunned. And she was so stunned. She didn't even have any idea what that number would be. She said, do you have a calculator? She goes, the woman said, so tell me how much that will be. And Lynn said, do you have a calculator? I'm not even sure. I didn't even think about that. But the fact that she was very scared to ask, you know, but sometimes we have to rely on courage through our fear. It's not necessarily that we're always going to get over the fear. But if we can plow through with some courage, like Lynn did, you might be so surprised at how your question is answered or how your request is granted. And especially when you come at it with heart and soul and this sense of providing value, whatever it is, in any situation.
One of the things I got out of that story was that there was an authenticity to her nervousness and such. And I think that probably is also really important, because I think you can get to a point to where if it's too easy, I think the person on the other side is like, wow, they're way too polished at this. And so I think that for those of us that we're used to fending for ourselves and stuff, if that authenticity comes out, I think there's a balance somewhere where it works best.
Absolutely.
So anyway, we've got another question. I was just checking over here with the time and stuff. So this one reads, I am such a great fan of your work and was so excited to see that you were going to appear on Alan's show. My question is, what do you think the future holds for our Europe youth? I have two grandchildren who are 15 and 17, and holding a conversation with them is almost impossible because in their view, we're just old folks with no concept of the advanced technology that the world now provides us. I ordered your book and really hope that you have some inspiration on how we can bridge the gap between us and the younger generation with warm hearts from Arlington, New Zealand.
Yeah, for the little ones, we have sleepovers for the ones in Arizona where we live. And answer your question, what we learned with Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul, which sold 19 million the first year, and I say that once we get out with Ask, who knows, this might eclipse that. I hope so. We said, don't you let you read it to the teenager. The teenager read it to you, because what it does, it opens up the heart energy and it unzips it, and then they start telling a story. And we learned that with a psychiatrist too. Psychiatrists have taught a great question. Well, if you didn't know what you want, what would you want? It doesn't work when somebody's shut down, scared, or is a techie and spending their full time on a screen. And we're saying people have too much screen time. And that's why if you have the kid read the Ask book, one of the stories, whether it's like when we did at Bob Proctor or better yet, Jim Stovall, you know, that will open their heart energy. They'll start pouring out stories at levels you can't believe. Now, if you can get two teenagers together, them and their best friend, it works immensely better. And I can guarantee that it will work. But have them read it to you. Don't you read it to them.
And I, by the way, I love that that approach. And it's interesting that you brought that book up, because that one came out a long time ago. And long before we ever met, I had purchased a stack of those because I would have my employees give it to the young people that were taking to specialized programs, because they're on an airplane sometimes for 5 hours. And And that was one of the things. There was a few other things that we would do, but it's one of the things that we would give them to pass the time so that they would have that. And many of them at the end of they would get to program, they're going to, like, say, a drug and alcohol rehab program. They get to the program. And I love the fact that many of the kids would then look to the agent that brought them and said, "Is it okay if I keep this and finish it?" And said, "Of course, it's yours." So,
but what happens is it gets them into their heart energy rather than their head energy. Because the head energy, what happens is, we did a lot of seminars with Dr. Steve Covey, and Steve and I were friends. And Steve said, "Hey, look, until you're 13, you're dependent on those people called parents. From 13 on, you start to 21, you become independent." And he said, "An alien takes you and takes you away, and maybe you never done that." And if things go really well at 21 or to 25, they say, "Let's be interdependent." And what happens is, we think the kids are spending way too much time because they're bred on the cell phone and the mobile devices starting at 2 and 3 years old. And we've got that in our own family. And when we have a meal, we insist now that nobody uses a cell phone, not the kids, not us, mm-hmm. not the grandkids. Right. Because we don't want them to, what Crystal said is one of the seven big ones is disconnection, and a disconnect. And we need, when I grew up, I can't talk for anyone else, but in a little Danish family where I got, you know, there are four boys and dad, five boys and mom, a lot of testosterone in one house. At 5:30 at night, everybody was supposed to have their feet under the table. Their sports were supposed to be done. They delivered the newspapers. They can go out after dinner, but at 5:30, boy, you and dad had better, and mom sat at one head of the table, you'd better be there. And we did have family discussion, so it really worked.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got another question, and this one comes in, and it says, "I love that the two of you work and write together. The love of my life and I have discussed writing a book together. Please share how the two of you collaborated to write Ask, and what would be some tips you would give to us on how two strong, intelligent people in love can remain in mutual collaboration?"
I just love that question. Thank you for asking it, because it's a real, you know, question. Like, when we started this process, we had never done it. It's the first book we've written together. And we're kind of going, you know, how's this going to go? Let's go for it. But I think the thing we did best is really let each other roll with our individual strengths. You know, we would come together and kind of, we outlined the book, we gave our best ideas, put them together, you know, graphed them out. And then we said, you know, I'll write to this, you write to that. We both really felt drawn to certain areas. And then it just kept growing and morphing. Mark's so good at reaching out to people and connecting that he did so much of the connecting for, you know, a lot of the interviews. I did some of it, but I'm really good at, like, interpreting the interviews, editing them down, and really pulling out, you know, the story from that. So it was amazing how we both just kept passing the baton and then working on our own individual pieces of it, and voila, it came together, and it was really fun. I think the part about, you know, working together as a couple and staying connected is super important. Mark and I make a point, no matter how busy we are, to start the first part of our day with meditation and prayer, because we want to be aligned with each other. And we naturally have this desire, you know, we feel very grateful and fortunate that we wake up every day kind of wanting the same thing, in that we both want to make our lives work in a really wonderful way. We both want to make the world work as much as we can. We both want to contribute. So we have that commonality that makes it really nice. But of course, life gets crazy and hectic and everyone gets stressed. So we come together for this prayer meditation time, and it really kind of grounds us and aligns us. And no matter how busy we are, we try to spend an hour of planning time together in the morning if we can, because we have that many things going on. So prayer, meditation, planning. But at the very least, we spend 15 minutes minimum, because we have found it makes all the difference in the world. And if we skip that time, we can start to feel ourselves a little bit off kilter. So do take that time. We'll get some inspirational cards, read some scriptures, things like that. And it really helps guide us, ground us, and really spiritually connect us.
Can I add one more thing?
I love that. And Mark, if you can not only add something, but we've got about 1 minute, and share a little bit, because that's obviously somebody that could also benefit from your other world, which is everybody's got a book in you. So if you can share something about that as well.
We've got a brand new seminar, a virtual seminar, so you can go to markvictorhansen.com and see it. But it's called You Have a Bestseller in You, because there are 7,000 bestsellers on just New York Times. That doesn't count London. That doesn't count where we sold 374 million books. We're number one in China. So there's a lot of bestsellers available, and I want to help everyone do it, because if you're going to write it, why not make a fortune with it? And sure. We've got the only virtual seminar, and as an author of 309 bestsellers and 59 number one time New York Times, no one has outsold me anywhere in nonfiction, and I don't think they will. And my goal is to sell a billion, and I think with Ask, we'll do it. So we would like everyone to learn, A, how to write the book. We do 12 chapters that take through interviewing is one of the chapters, how to have a best-selling title, how to do outlining, all the way to make sure you're a brand that commands. It shouldn't just be Harry Potter that's smart enough to do a brand that commands. So we teach you all the guts of it, and nobody, I don't think, I'm 72 years young, and I'm going to live to be 127th option for renewal, knows more about books and the people in the industry than I do. I really am an assiduous student and an omnivorous reader.
Well, I just want to thank both of you so much. I want to acknowledge you for everything that you're doing. This show was set up, and I started it, I think it's now been 11 years ago. And the main thing that I said was that I want to have people on here that are going to make a positive difference in the world. And that's exactly what you're doing. So I just want to acknowledge you and thank you so much for everything that you're doing.
Thank you for your friendship and your gift of 100 books to everybody. That's just so magnificent. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Look forward to sometime when it opens up to meet with you at one of our seminars.
Thanks, everybody.
Right. Thank you. And for everybody out there, please be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday when we're joined by Lisa Erickson to discuss her latest book, Trauma Recovery, Using the Body's Own Energy for Healing. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com, or you can subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeart, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, and SoundCloud. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It'll help us reach more people, and I want you to know that I greatly appreciate it. Next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts. If you like them, please like us and spread the word. For everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.